Good evening out there in Radio Land. I am your host, Pastor Tiara Hawthorne, along with Prophet Demetrius Hawthorne, and you're tuned in to God Chasers Ministries radio broadcast, where we're seeking God's face like never before. Keep it locked right here for an anointed, heart-penetrating word from the Lord. Good afternoon out there in Radio Land. I'm your host, Pastor Tiara Hawthorne, here with God Chasers Ministries, where we're seeking the face of God like never before. I am just going to carry on with our word of encouragement, talking about purposes and times and seasons, as we've been talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we were in 1 Peter yesterday, the very first chapter, and now we're in 1 Thessalonians this afternoon, and we're going to be in chapter 3, and it says in the very first verse in chapter 3, wherefore when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. To comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be removed by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you well know. I'll be going back and forth in regards to this Thessalonians, because this is a very powerful word. It's so much that's going on, so much that the persecution of the saints of the Most High. We know that the enemy comes to war with us both day and night, trying to weary out the saints of the Most High. So it's very important that we obey what thus saith the Lord, and to be found in our rightful position at the right place and the right time, and just to do the will and purpose of Christ, and to encourage each other in the faith. The Lord even said in this scripture here that he would perfect that which is lacking in the faith. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you for the word. But in the very first verse, it says, wherefore, this is just motivation right here, guys. It's like, you just got to get right into this word. And I mean, it just keeps you and it covers you. And it's just to comfort and knowing that the Lord already predestined us before this world began. And even as sometimes we just get so overwhelmed with circumstances because the enemy, he tries to figure us out and tries to think he knows us, you know, but the Lord is who knows us. The Lord knew us from the very beginning, okay? He knew us even before we were formed in the womb. He said he knew us. Jeremiah tells us such. He says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left alone at Athens. And sometimes it's just amazing how this word just comes and it keeps us and it renews our spirit man day by day. He says, when I could no longer forbear, and sometimes it's just the Lord puts us in a place where we can just no longer just give in to what the flesh tells us to do. And we have to be determined completely to serve the Lord Jesus in the spirit and in truth and do what thus saith the Lord. And I'm wanting to just really focus even on the first scripture, no longer forbear. And he said, and sometimes we skip over details that have great meaning. See, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And some people don't even want, this is a lonely road. It's not something that many people, you know, we don't have a lot of friends. We say we have acquaintances. When we choose Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, there's not many people that are willing to put a walk the talk. I know we say walk the walk, but no, we're talking about really what you speak out of your mouth, what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ really is Lord, then your actions reflected. He said to love your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your very being. He said to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we must decrease, that the Spirit of God must increase. Dad, oh my goodness, this is just so powerful, because I mean, the word, it just cuts. It's just so strong and it just cuts. So powerful. even dividing the spirit and the soul asunder. And I just get so excited sometimes with the word, because we need encouragement to strengthen us. Even when the enemy's trying to come in like a flood, the Lord sets up a standard. He sets the standard of righteousness for us, and he delivers us even up out of our own situation, even up out of our own self-pity, our own self-loathing. You know, sometimes we get into a place where we're like, you know, Lord, I just don't even like myself. I know that I'm just, you know, so I'm wretched. We're naked. We're filthy. And he says, you know, we're all just filthy as rags, and there's none righteous, no, not one. But sometimes it just so upsets us with the fleshly ways that we're involved in sometimes, just our very own flesh and our weakness thereof. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes, you know, just to humble ourselves enough to fast and pray and seek the Lord, it even frustrates our own self, you know. And people have said oftentimes, you know, sometimes we just got to get over ourselves. And, you know, and then I had to think about that. What does that really mean? Like, to get over yourself, to really get over the fleshly part of you and allow the spirit of truth, the Spirit of God to really move and have his way, to yield to the Holy Spirit so that he can do the work, not we ourselves. And it's a lonely road to do that, to really look at who we are in Christ and the role that we're supposed to play. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, you know, missionaries and you know, for gifts of helps and different things like that, to know your role in the body, because we're all many members, you know. But we got to be, you know, in that place and do and walk worthy of that calling. And you know what, a lot of people are on the sidelines right now because they don't want to do it alone. And sometimes we have to get so just put everything aside. And I'm trying to put everything in words, so I'm not, you know, I'm just trying to put it into English the best way that I can, amen. That we just got to get so just tired of what the enemy is trying to do and accomplish in our lives. So tired of trying to control and handle things ourselves and trying to figure out our end. That even David said, Lord, teach me to know my end. Teach me your precepts, O Lord. Teach me to know, that my end from the beginning. I know I'm wretched. I know I'm filled, but just teach me to know thy ways, O Lord. And so even David cried these things. So this is not the first time. There's nothing new under the sun, but sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves, like David said. And, you know, it's you don't want to do things alone, but guess what? Judgment starts at the household of faith, and if the Lord is sometimes allowed certain situations, say, hey, what move are you going to make now? And so in the very verse 3, it says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord don't want us to be moved. He said we must be stable. We've got to be unshakable, unmovable, ever abounding in the love of Jesus Christ. So he doesn't want us to be moved in that sense, but he wants us to be moved in the faith, to operate in unity by the Holy Spirit, not to cave in and to operate according to the flesh, which is the way the world system wants to do. And we want to feel like, oh, I can't handle this, so I'm going to go to this friend and I'm going to go to that friend. And it's interesting that I go to the grocery store and places like that, day-to-day places that we go and travel to, and I always see people, they just clinging to their phone. They need someone. But there's a great need for a Savior. There's a great need to really take hold of this salvation that the Lord has poured upon us. And most people, we don't even realize, we just want to take hold of the phone and we just feel like basically we need. Every time I'm even in a line somewhere or doing something, I see somebody, oh, they can't wait to pick up their phone. They're on the video. They're on the chat. Hey, what's going on? And they act like they're so involved in things. But the fact is, it's like Jesus is not really involved. You know, and it's sometimes he just allows situations to say, hey, what am I going to do? You know, am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to continue with one foot in the world, one foot out? Or am I really going to surrender to the will and purpose of Christ? Because sometimes we get to this place where we say, hey, when I can no longer forbear, I just stand and be accounted among the righteous and said, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to put that down. Serve the Lord. I'm going to make the choice to serve him. We've been talking about the churches in the last days. And one of the last churches we talked about in Bible study the night was the church of Laodicea, and how they really didn't want to make a choice. You know, they want to stand for this, want to stand for holiness, want to stand for righteousness. But they were very indecisive church that on the inside, they were just really just all jacked up. But on the outside, they polished the cup and make it seem so pretty. And the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. And so here he says, he found it that it was necessary to even be left there alone at Athens. And so then he sent Timothy, our brother, a minister of God, our fellow, to establish you and to comfort you concerning the faith. And that's what we need. The true comfort that comes with the Holy Spirit that even leads us to fellowship with the right people. Because the people of the world, as much as we love family, as much as we love people that we call friends, they can't comfort us in Jesus Christ the way that we ought to be comforted. Have you ever felt like you know that there's another level of faith that you're trying to get to, that the Lord is trying to take you and that nobody can go with you? And this is why he said, I found myself alone in Athens. Because sometimes, you know, even when Paul, when he was first, met the Lord truly, had the revelation of Jesus Christ on Damascus Road, and the Lord began to talk with him and sup with him, he said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. And that's what we want to do sometimes when we're going through a trial, a situation. We want to consult flesh and blood. We want to consult people. We want to consult mommy and daddy who oftentimes has no clue where the Lord is trying to take us to. Even John the Baptist, the Bible says he was driven to the wilderness. It wasn't something that I don't think that his father Zachariah and his mother Elizabeth, I don't think they said, you know, I think little John, I think the Lord is trying to call you here now, son, to the wilderness. You know, I it's just not like that. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place that says, okay, Lord Jesus, I'm here. And I'm desiring to do your will. I'm surrendered completely and I repent. I turn from my wicked ways and you be the guide. And then he says, you know, come, you know, cast your cares upon me. I will give you rest, you know, because I care for you. And so we got to get to a place where we surrender completely and answer the call. Because the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And he says, hey, guess what? You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And so we've got to get to the place to recognize, hey, we've got to do the will and purpose of Christ, and call upon him while he yet may be found. Glory, hallelujah. And Jesus, so to establish you and comfort you, that was in 2 and 3, and because we're appointed thereunto. But in 4 it says, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we could suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, he says this again, I sent to know your faith. And that's the thing. We want to make sure we're not doing our labors in vain. One of the things in the churches that the Lord always talks about was the works. And we do works and we get so weary because that's what the enemy wants to do and bring works of distraction, works that mean nothing to God, works that's not compelling people, men and women, to come to Christ. Are you letting your light shine when you go out and when you're at work? I mean, yeah, people may see you reading your word and you may say, oh, hallelujah, you can listen to your Christian music or something. But are they really being compelled to serve the true and living God that you serve, to really ask the question, what must I do to be saved? You know, the Bible says, when I was with the Jews, I became as the Jews. Among the Gentiles, I became a Gentile. You know, amongst the fellow brethren. And it's like, are you compelling people to surrender completely? Because when the disciples came forth and the apostles and they compelled the people, so many such as daily needed to be saved, we don't read about them going back to the world. We know that they were transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were transformed completely, not needed to be sold out again. And then that's why Paul said, I was hoping that you would be fully persuaded. When he talked to him in the book of Acts, the one magistrate, he was like, I was hoping. He says, I was almost persuaded. And he said, well, I would hope that you would be fully persuaded to do the will and purpose of Christ so that you don't go back to the old man. He says, behold, I make things new, the Lord said. I make things brand new. Therefore, brother, we're comforted over you and all of our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord and stand fast and hold firm to what the Lord has taught us from the very beginning. Jesus not slack what is coming. And even when Elijah had came forth and he was running from the Lord, he said, hey, calm down. And there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. So we have to trust that Jesus Christ knows our end from the beginning. This is why he said he is the Amen. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega, the first and the last. And we've got to know who we are in Christ. We've got to know who Jesus is. And many people, they have fallen by the wayside. even with all the seeds that have been planted, they haven't really taken root and grown because of their hearts not after God. We got to make sure that, hey, well, if we know our heart completely to say, you know, Jesus is, he's going to work it out. But if he doesn't work it out, he's still God. And that's where our love really has to show true, the true love of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the true love of Jesus Christ is first pure. This, we were talking about it just yesterday, about the Lord. His love is pure, and there's no fear with it. There's no doubt. There's nothing that's dark in it. The Bible says Jesus is the light. There's no darkness in him at all. And so we don't have to be suspect. But the purified love of Christ, it hopes for all things and it bears all things and it desires for the spiritual unity that is in the love of Jesus Christ. So here it says in verses 15, we're going to go up to chapter 2. It says, "Who both they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and now contrary to men, they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the utmost." This is the character of man in the last days. This is what we're up against. And but we can't allow the people operating in the character man in the last days to dictate our emotions so that we lack trust and faith in God. God is the same. He changes not. We've got to know our master. This is why he said he trained us to be servants and that we are the church. We're not just serving inside of a church. He says we are the church. The church is within us. And that's why he tells us every day, prepare him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in his sight. This is our reasonable service. So when people are acting like that and forbidding us to speak and want to present us with snares and traps brought by the enemy, he said, "But brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart though, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face in great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even Paul, once and again, but the enemy hindered us. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming?" Glory, hallelujah. That's what we're trying to establish and get to get everybody to their expected end. But this is not an exclusion. Oh, I don't got time for you. I don't got time for you. I got to do, you know, when the Lord said, be about your father's business and be not slothful in business, he wasn't saying, hey, leave your brothers and sisters behind. But that's contrary. Because in the book of Joshua, he told them when he said, arise and go over into your inheritance, he actually told them, hey, you fight for your brother first and make sure he gets his. But the question is, going back to our first love and remembering the very simple parables of God. He said, who is my lover? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Them that do the will and purpose of Jesus Christ. They're my mothers. They're my brothers. They're the true and living God. Okay? And so we got to make sure that we're not sitting here looking to be fulfilled by fleshly things. And that's the importance. And it's not by chance that things are happening, but that we go forth and we do the will and purpose of Christ. And yes, warfare is all around. It's continuing to go forth. This is going to be, the earth is continuing to spin and it's continuing to get evil and evil. It's becoming like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what we cannot allow ourselves to do is to take down for the enemy, to take down for sin, and allow the enemy to destroy our testimony. The Bible says in Revelation that we overcame that enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they love not their lives until their death. And so as we continue to go forth and to abound in the faith from glory to glory, abounding in the love of Jesus Christ, we must continue to stand firm on the foundation of faith, to continue to contend for righteousness, and to seek for fellowship in the faith by his Holy Spirit. And so for those of who don't have the Holy Spirit, to seek for the Holy Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to keep us day in and day out. And that's where the fellowship is, in the spirit. That's where we're able to pray for each other through situations and circumstances, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. How do you know what your sisters and brothers are going through, the sisters and brothers that are in Christ? When you become new in Jesus Christ, you have a new family. You have a new fellowship of friends and relationships, and they're found in the spirit realm. How do you know when they're going through and they need you to pray? because you're allowing the Spirit to have His way. We don't want to quench the Spirit, and we do not want to grieve the Spirit. We must yield and allow the Holy Spirit to reign. And so that's my time, you all. We thank you so much for joining in with us this afternoon. And until next time, may God bless you. Well, saints, our time has come to an end, but we thank you so much for joining in with us as we've been seeking the face of God like never before. We encourage your praise reports as well as your prayer requests. Contact us at 757-817-8079. And until next time, may God continue to bless you.